preacher, as you all know, Pastor is out today. We have a guest preacher with us today. His name is Michael Thomas, new church plant. He told us more about it, but he's a preacher or a new church plant, right, that you're working on in the university. He has been more, or believing more here, that he's going to talk to us in the church. So, with all that said, please.
Hello, everybody. Good morning. As Brother Martin said, my name is Michael Thomas, and I wanted to share with you about the church plant that the Lord has called me to start. But before that, I wanted to share my testimony with you all. And before that, I would like to pray, if you don't mind. Dear Heavenly Father, you're so awesome and wonderful and magnificent and worthy of all praise, and I thank you for allowing my family to come and be with my other family, my brothers and sisters in Christ here at Brown Deer Baptist Church, Father God. Heavenly Father, I pray that my testimony would encourage my brothers and sisters to always seek your face and never stop witnessing and always loving the people that you surround them with, Father God, and that they never stop caring for those that are lost, Heavenly Father. I pray that we would all be blessed by your Holy Spirit as we're gathered here today, and that when we leave this place, that we would leave with a joyful heart and ready to do your will and share who Jesus Christ truly is. Father God, we thank you and we love you and we praise your magnificent name. And we pray all this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, I'm originally from Milwaukee, grew up on the east side, and I did a lot of moving around, actually, as a child. My dad is black and my mom is white. They had me when they were really young. Got married and got divorced when my mom was 18, and my mom was without a high school diploma or a job or a place to live, so she gave custody to my dad, and my dad moved around a lot to keep me away from my mom. So I didn't have a great relationship with her. I didn't know her that well. He got remarried and she got remarried as well. And those marriages didn't last long, and they both eventually got divorced. And we moved in with my grandmother, and I lived with my grandmother and grandfather and my dad for some time. And we had an uncle that also stayed there, and he was a crackhead, and he molested me when I was probably 7 years old. And I always had that in my mind, in my head, and I struggled with that, and I didn't know it was a bad thing until I was willing to give myself over to a cousin, and then he told me that that's not something that family members do, and that men should be doing with one another, and I realized that it was wrong, and I felt shamed because of it, and I made a commitment to myself that I would never tell anybody what happened to me for the long rest of my life. And but I was angry about it, and I struggled with it, and as I got older, you know, my dad told me that my mom didn't love me, and that's why I didn't see her very often. That's why I didn't live with her, and that was hard for me. And she would come around, and I would get to see her like once a month, but, you know, it wasn't like that relationship that a mother and child should have. And the older I got, the more I started to resent my dad, and our relationship started falling apart. And my mom started coming around more as I became a teenager. And I started to see that she did love me, and that my dad was just trying to turn me against her and make me have a bitter relationship or bitter feelings towards her. And so our relationship started falling apart. We started fighting all the time, and I got tired of getting spankings, and I started fighting back. I started getting in trouble in school, and one day at 14, my dad kicked me out the house and disowned me, and told me that I wasn't his son anymore and that I needed to leave and go live with my mom. So I moved to Sheboygan and started high school in Sheboygan. And it wasn't easy. She got remarried, and I didn't respect my stepdad because I felt like, well, if my real dad just kicked me out and disowned me, why should I care about what my stepdad says? And I didn't know my mom or appreciate my mom like I should, not having her as a child. So she wasn't able to discipline me or control me or really I just didn't appreciate her, respect her like I should. And I started getting in a lot of trouble. I started drinking as a freshman in high school. And by the time I was a junior, I started smoking weed and getting into a lot of trouble, getting suspended. And they thought it was best that I move to Arkansas and live with my grandmother down there because I respected my grandmother and I loved her. I loved my grandmother. And when I started my senior year in high school down there, I really got into a lot of trouble down there. Started skipping school and hanging out with my cousins down there, and I was not going to graduate on time. And so my family thought it was best that I move back to Wisconsin. And in the middle of my senior year, I moved back to Sheboygan and was living with my mom and stepdad again, and I did not graduate. I was half a credit short of graduating. I worked at Noah's Ark in Wisconsin Dells for the summer and got half a credit of with the school to work program. And so I was able to get my high school diploma in September of the year I was supposed to graduate. And about 6 months later, I robbed a gas station and was arrested and went to jail and put on probation. And after that, life just really got crazy. I mean, I made the front page of the newspaper 2 days in a row, and it was hard to get a job. And nobody, none of my old friends wanted to hang out with me anymore. And I started committing more crimes. I started selling drugs and just partying every single day. And really, I had no hope or vision for a future. I was on probation for 7 years, so I didn't think that I was ever going to make it, and I was eventually going to get arrested and be sent to prison. And just to tell you how crazy my mindset was, one time I went out, and I was drinking and driving, and I crashed my car into my friend's car, and the airbag popped out, and it saved me. And I drove away before the police came. And the next day, I pushed the airbag as best as I could back into the steering wheel and went right back out and started drinking and driving again. And somebody had got murdered outside of my apartment. And as I approached the murder scene in my apartment, I thought that if I drove slowly, I wouldn't tear the yellow tape. And none of the police were looking, so they wouldn't see me. And I would be able to turn and park in my parking space before the police caught me. And as I started driving through the yellow tape, the police saw me right away. And it was like, hey, what the heck are you doing? And they approached me, and they were ready to arrest me. And it was really amazing. The police started arguing with each other about if they were going to arrest me or not. And I tell you, by the grace of God, they decided not to arrest me, knowing I was on probation and drunk. And they allowed me to park in my parking space and go inside my house. I really think that God had his hand on me throughout that time, because I probably got arrested 10 to 15 times on probation. And it was never enough to where they would send me to prison. And so in 2009, through the grace of God, I made it those 7 years off of probation, and I decided to move to Oklahoma to get a change of pace, and I started getting sick all the time. Every time I went out to the bar and started drinking, later that night, I would start puking uncontrollably, And it would last for over 24 hours. I'd just lay on the bathroom floor and throw up. I couldn't drink. I couldn't eat anything. And I knew that every time I drank, this would happen. And I continued to do it anyways until my uncle got tired of seeing me laying on his bathroom floor and was afraid that I was probably going to die. And so he forced me to go to the hospital, where we found that I had a birth defect that didn't affect me until I was 26 years old. And the tube connecting the kidney and the liver was too narrow, and I couldn't pass my waist into the liver, so it would back up into my kidney, causing it to stretch to three times the size it's supposed to be. And that's why I'd be in so much pain. And I'd be throwing up so much. And if I didn't have emergency surgery, then they were going to have to remove my kidney. And so I moved back to Wisconsin in February of 2010 to have surgery. I had it in March. After having the surgery on a Tuesday, I checked myself out of the hospital on Wednesday, and I was at the bar on Friday, barely able to stand, blood leaking through the back of my shirt, leaning up against the wall, drinking. And this was me. This is what I love to do. I couldn't even control my own bowel movements. I would have to run to the bathroom holding myself just so I didn't pee blood all through my pants. And after a couple months, I eventually healed. And I went back to selling dope. And one day, my oldest friend, who I had been friends with since I was 7 years old, tried to rip me off about $100 worth of crack. And I wanted to kill him over it. And the same day, this girl called me and told me that she was pregnant. And I told her that she needed to have an abortion because I wasn't interested in having any kids with her. She was just somebody that I used for money and sex. And I don't remember where I slept that night. But the next night, I was waiting for another friend of mine to get some dope for me to sell. And I called up my aunt and asked her if I could spend the night at her house. And she said yes. And she was a church-going woman. And so I thought I would do her a favor and spend the night at her house and go to church with her the next day, since she was letting me spend the night. And on my way to church, I turned on the radio and a gospel song came on. And normally I hated gospel music, but I decided I would listen to it this time. And so as I listened to the song, it was a song by Maurice Clarett Brown. It went, "It ain't over, it ain't over, till God says it's over. It ain't over till God says it's done." Sorry if that was terrible. It touched me. And for the first time since my dad kicked me out of the house, I started crying. And I was bawling uncontrollably. And I drove 10 blocks past the church before I'd even realized it, because all I could do was like not stop thinking about why I was crying and why I couldn't stop crying. And I turned around and I got to the church, and I composed myself before I went inside. And as the preachers preached, it was like everything that they were saying was going on about me. And it was like it was meant for me to be there. And I realized that it just could not be a coincidence that this one time that I would go to church, that everything that they would be saying would be about my life. And I realized that God had to be real. And if I continued in everything that I was doing, that I was going to go to hell. And this woman, she came up to me, and she asked me if I knew Jesus. And I said, "Kinda, yeah, I heard of Jesus before, you know, I know Jesus." And she said, "If you say kinda, then you don't know Jesus." And so I was like, huh, you know, maybe she's right. And at the end of church, They had the altar call, and they asked if anybody would be willing to give their life to the Lord, or if anybody wants to get baptized, or if anybody just has questions, come on down. And I wasn't going. But that lady, she turned around and she looked at me at the front of the church. She found me towards the back, and she stared at me, and she waved at me to come forward. And I went up there, and they asked me if I'd ever been baptized before, and I said no. And they asked me if I was willing to give my life to Jesus, and I said yeah. And they prayed for me, and they took me in the back and just told me, like, hey, you know, like, making Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior is a lifetime commitment. And just broke it down, like, knowing who Christ is and having a relationship with Christ was really all about. And after that day, I called up that girl and I told her that she didn't have to have an abortion, and that if it was my baby, I'd man up and take care of the child. And I decided that I wasn't going to sell drugs anymore. And I got a job 3 days later. I moved back to Sheboygan to try to be around that girl and be around that baby. But I just felt like, you know, being with her wasn't going to work and I wasn't going to be happy. And I started going to church in Sheboygan, Mapledale Baptist Church. And I prayed to God that he would give me somebody that would help me grow in Christ and that would walk with me in Christ. And we would be a good couple. And maybe a week later, a girl that I used to date in high school messaged me on MySpace, because I didn't have Facebook at that time. And we got to talking over MySpace, and we met at the park one day, and she had a daughter, a five-year-old daughter, and we got together that day, and we've been together ever since. I got baptized in June of 2010. And a month later, these people heard that I had just gave my life to Christ, and I had just had surgery a few months prior, and they held a fundraiser and gave me $1,400 from a bake sale and brat fry, and that $1,400 was the exact amount of money I needed to file bankruptcy and wipe away $26,000 of debt I was in from the surgery. And as I continued to live for the Lord, 9 months later, that girl had the baby, and we found out that the baby wasn't mine. And I was thankful that I didn't try to force her to have that abortion. About a year after living for Christ, I went back in front of the judge who convicted me of that felony robbery and told him that I was living for Jesus, and that was it. And I had no other reason why he should do anything for me, and he expunged that felony off my record. And I wasn't even supposed to go back in front of that judge for at least 7 years after being off probation, and I had only been off probation for a year and a half, and that judge still expunged it off my record. And me and that girl I started dating, we got married in 2012. And I started coaching basketball. I started coaching Elizabeth in first grade basketball. And then I moved up to freshman boys. And I've been coaching high school basketball ever since. In 2014, I became a church planting apprentice. And I moved to Appleton to start a church. And then I was given the opportunity to be a head church planter. And as we prayed, I prayed to God that he would have us go to a place that we're needed. And he started putting on my heart that Milwaukee was in the greatest need. And I started making phone calls and seeing, if there were any opportunities and who would be willing to help us if we came down there. And by the grace of God, I got a phone call from Eastbrook Academy, and they asked me to be the head varsity basketball coach there. And Community of Grace, the pastor, Pastor Bobby Sinclair, who's the moderator of Lakeland Baptist Association. He said that he would be willing to be a sponsoring church for myself and our church. And so we moved to Brown Deer last August, and we began to work as a church planter. And God has really just paved the way and made all things possible for us. Just last week, we received an entire sound system. And Pastor Larry gave us your old projector. And starting December 11th, we'll be ready to have our first church service. We've been meeting with people at our home and at a dance studio and at the school that I coach at. I've been having a small group with a number of people. And I'm excited. December 11th, we'll be baptizing some people here. And God has just really been blessing us throughout this entire walk. I've been living for the Lord for a little over 6 years now. I submitted to the call of ministry in 2012, and he's just had his hand on my family throughout this entire time. Now we have Elizabeth and two more little girls, and I'm just thankful for everything that God has done. We'll be on 60th Street here in Brown Deer. A Trinity Community Church has two sanctuaries, and they're allowing us to come in and take over the sanctuary that they're not using. Since I've been down here, I've also become the Brown Deer Police Department chaplain. We've organized a walk for responsible driving, and I'll be working with them this Christmas to do Shop with a Cop. That's where we have needy families work with the police department. The police will buy toys for their kids and provide food for the families for Christmas. And just trying to have a positive impact on our community and change lives and share Christ with everyone. And my life is a living testimony to the power that God has and how he can transform lives. So I pray that every single one of you don't stop witnessing to your family and your friends, your children, no matter where they are. God can change anybody. I was happy selling drugs and smoking and drinking every single day. And now God has given me a new heart, a heart for ministry, a heart for his people. And sharing Christ with everyone. And I'm thankful that I'm able to come here and be in partnership and fellowship with you all. I look forward to us doing things together and reaching out to the community and getting to know you all even more. And I pray that God will continue to use you all. It's beautiful to see a church that's multicultural. I hope that we can replicate that, and I pray God would have his hand on all of you. I thank you very much. Amen.